Bismillah, alhamdulillah, peace be with you. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host. And before you go all out red on Valentine's and you get into the Valentine's fever, you gotta watch this week's show. We're gonna be discussing Valentine's Day. And we're also gonna be talking about Miley Cyrus, Britney Spears on the Deen Show. That's right, we're gonna be talking about them, connecting it all together, investigating some of these holidays that we all get in the holiday spirit with, and really find out what's going on behind the scenes. So we'll be right back with more on these exciting, exciting topics here on The Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Deen Show. This is The Deen, The Deen Show. This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
This is the Deen, this is the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Back on the Deen Show. Nadir, how are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah, I'm incredible.
You're incredible. Alhamdulillah. You look incredible, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. Thank you for finding the time. You know, very important topic. And for many people, before they go red, because it's all about love and going red and the Valentine's fever, we really wanted to expose people. You know, the conscious, the God-conscious people out there who really want to live a righteous life, who really want to do the right thing, they kind of sometimes fall into these pitfalls. And they think it's innocent, but really, it ends up being a trap. So we want to talk about Valentine's Day. You think you can help us out with this?
Inshallah ta'ala, I can really relate to it. Obviously being a parent, one of the things that I teach and train parents is on is really the importance of education and exposing things as a confidant to our children in particular, because they tend to be the ones that are more affected, if you will, because no matter what it be, what type of holiday, what type of thing, especially the Valentine's Day thing, it tends to focus around children. That's when they start. I remember being in private school, and I went to a Christian private school, and we had Valentine's Day parties. And mind you, this was a Christian school, went to church, and we sang and studied catechism and all kinds of things. But until you investigate, then we just blindly follow. And as humans, we know we don't want to just blindly follow. We want to be convinced intellectually that what we're doing is right. It actually pleases our Creator. So with Valentine's Day in particular, when it comes to love, which generally is a good thing, when we think about love and loving our parents and our loved ones and things like that, those are things we keep consider close to us. However, we know as Muslims that the Prophet ﷺ reminded us that Shaitan has given up all hope of dealing with us or tricking us on the major things. So he tends to major in minor things. So it's the little things that kind of get us. And when we look into Valentine's Day and this Lupercalia celebration and the things that went on, the things that we wouldn't be able to say on this show, or if you put into a film, it would be above R-rated, if you will. And are these things we have to ask ourselves as parents, as other humans, those who care, do we really care enough to investigate one time in order to find out the truth, in order to change and set a pattern for our family if need be, or are we just going to go with the flow? You know, so that's
so now this is something that any God-conscious person can relate to. It doesn't matter if you're from the Jewish faith or the Christian faith or just a God-conscious person. After we expose these facts, people should probably have a change of heart about this whole Valentine's. So let's go back to the roots of it, how this all started, Valentine's, Lupercalia.
Yes, well, interestingly enough, there are a number of different ways or a number of different myths about how it started. And one of the oldest tends to go way back to this big feast and this big celebration of Lupercalia. And it's interesting because there's the myth of Saint Valentine. We'll talk, inshallah, about that, or God willing, you know, about that in a minute. But we go back to a feast that was supposed to be on men dressing up in this time in wolves. I believe it was wolves' clothing or wolves' skins and stuff like that. And they would go, they would beat it. But the challenging part is, to skip forward to the story a little bit, part of their celebration, they would go and basically grab women and put into a bowl, kind of like we pick random numbers or random names. They'll go ahead and pick it, grab the women who are supposed to be fertile in order to continue on their celebration, and just have non-committal sex and so on, and the things that will follow that, of course.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just basically some type of orgy, some type of, you know, sexual event that pagans used to traditionally do. That's one of the reasons that Christmas was banned even in this country till the late 1600s. It was actually banned even in the Western world. Because it had,
again, pagan origins, right?
Yes, and most of the things, the days of the week that were, I mean, today's Wednesday or Woodensday, if you will, which actually is a pagan, you know, pagan, every day of the week, every month on the calendar, not every month, except like the last four, had pagan origins. So it's amazing all of these paganistic things are around us. It's not a surprise that we take them into our daily lives and then we blindly accept and follow a holiday without investigating that we could be on the wrong path of doing something that's displeasing to the Creator. So imagine if you're telling your child, hey, you know, there's a celebration that we're participating in. We're calling it Valentine's Day. But, you know, what I want you to do is have some wolf skins, go around, take these things, beat them, and grab a bucket full of someone of the opposite sex or even the same sex, because that's what happened, and go ahead and just be intimate with them. But not really intimate. It's just an animalistic act, if you will.
Wouldn't they also now, they would take these, because they had these Roman pagan gods, so they would also take these dogs and these wolves, and they would, this actually goes totally away from the pure monotheism, because now you're worshiping other gods besides God, because these are like these pagan gods, and you're sacrificing these gods, these animals, for these pagan gods now. That's
indeed, and we do, it's amazing, because we can look at the parallels of society. Some people say, oh, well, that's old, it no longer means that anymore. And say, well, you know, nowadays it just means this. We have to look at the origin of what it came from, and why is this thing sticking around so long? Is that something from us, or is this something from Shaitan? Is something from the devil? You know, excuse me, you know, we have to ask ourselves these questions, because looking at this, these sacrifice and this blood sacrifice and these same things, there's still remnants and there's still pagans who celebrate it to this day. But now if you don't consider yourself a pagan, this is not part of something that you want to worship. We have to ask ourselves, why are we aligned to it? Why are we allowing our children to do it? Mm-hmm. Why are we saying, oh, happy Valentine's Day? Why are we being forced to go out and get cards and candy and these other things that are representative of the evil in the paganistic rituals that went on at that time?
It was like something basically disgusting, something that wasn't pure, and now you put some like cologne on it and stuff, and you want to go ahead and use it. But it doesn't. We're going to be talking more about this. We got to go to break, but hopefully this is going to really enlighten you, and you're going to have a new perspective here on the Lupercalia Valentine's Day. We'll be right back.
Jihad, often mistranslated as holy war. The word jihad means to struggle. Islam does not preach violence. It does not preach vicious holy war. It certainly does not condone terror and suicide bombing. Islam preaches compassion, tolerance, and justice. Find the truth about Islam. Call toll-free 877-WHY-ISLAM. Order your free copy of the Quran today.
Word can't have defects in it, can it?
If it is literally God's word,
yes,
it cannot have defects. I mean, but this was written by men. We know that this is a collection, right? Even if you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel according to, right? The thing about the Quran and the biggest, and you know, I'll leave you with this, is the biggest thing for me is, if the Quran is exactly what it says it is, and this doesn't matter whether you're Muslim or not, if the Quran is what it says it is, the Quran is literally the word of God, delivered via Gabriel to Muhammad, who was an unlettered man who couldn't read or write, right? And he was just told to recite, right? That was the first thing, right? First thing he was told, recite, yes. Right? So if it is literally the word of God, then that's pretty important to me. And before I became Muslim, I said, if this is the word of God, then I'm going to follow it, because I'd be stupid not to.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Dean Show, so we touched upon history a little bit, the origins, totally a pagan custom culture, something that where you're sacrificing for pagan gods, and any person who's on pure monotheism, he knows that this is something that's displeasing to the Creator and can win you a seat in the hellfire.
Indeed,
because monotheism is something that's pure, it's for the Creator, and we don't mess around with this pagan stuff, right? So now someone says, hold on, we're in modern times. I gave the example of something disgusting and dirty, and you're trying to put some cologne on it. I mean, is there anything else you can think of for someone who brings up this common excuse? It's so innocent, it's love, that was back then, we've basically revamped it. What would you have to say?
Well, one is not to be naive. See, one of the challenges is that as parents, I mean, we teach, of course, at Outstanding Muslim Parents, that we can't be naive. We can't afford to be naive. If we want to look and investigate something, we can literally look one generation in the past. So we may be new parents, for example, our children may be young. Of course, if you're an adult watching this, you've been through this, so you've already experienced some things. However, what about your grandparents and great-grandparents? How has society changed? So if you look at a generation when I was coming up, for example, in fourth and fifth grade, even lesser grades, and we're talking about love and Be My Valentine and having Valentine's Day candy and being shy and having some hi-yad, that shyness, and being nervous about, oh, girlfriend, girls are yucky and boys are yucky type deal. At that age, love is being pushed on us. Okay, do we really know love? Are we capable of know love at that time? Well, let's fast forward to when I was a teenager, 10 years later, when hormones are bustling. Now I'm looking at girls and not necessarily so yucky. Girls are looking at boys. This society's still promoting this love fantasy, if you will. And let's fast forward even just a few years later, where now there are societies and epidemics in certain cities or across the nation in particular, where you have these single family households, where you have these unwed teenage moms or unwanted pregnancies, you have abortion and stuff on the rise. You have poverty that is unable to really sustain this continual non-marital relationship in society. So, but it comes from that idea, this magical fantasy of this love. You know, it's really been pushed on our children.
It comes off with something innocent, and then we can see what the negative side effects. You have a doctor, a PhD, and a medical psychologist. He has a really good book. It's called Girls on the Edge. So he talks about the four driving factors for the new crisis for girls. He also has one for the boys. But this one specifically, he talks about the four, the sexual identity, the cyber bubble, the obsessions, and the last one that's very interesting is the environmental toxins. Can we classify this as one of the environmental toxins, along with the other very, very important points, sexual identity, because you keep pushing love and you keep pushing this fake persona of what love should be, and then you have kids coming together, acting that out in the wrong way. Now you got all of this sexual deviance and all of the other negative things. What do you have to say on this?
One of the challenges, I mean, those 4 points, obviously, I mean, hit it right on the head.
He hit it right on the head.
There are many
head,
more
he?
That come from that because there are different subs beneath them. However, when you think of just sexual identity in and of itself, isn't America dealing with an entire epidemic of low self-esteem in women when it comes to anorexia and bulimia, people that are put out as models that are supposed to be the perfect size, or these models who get photoshopped all the time, and women saying, oh, my skin isn't light enough, my hair isn't light enough, my eyes aren't this color, well, I need to get injections in my face. I saw a show recently where children or teenagers were getting bullied in school, and they were going to plastic surgeons to actually change themselves physically. I mean, is that really the answer? You know, so we look at this, and it's not only affected our children, but our baby girls, our daughters, and our sisters, but grown women who feel they have to live up to a standard that's almost impossible to live up to, and not loving themselves and the body that the Creator has gifted them with. You know, meanwhile, they're looked at as toys for the boys. Men aren't physically and drastically changing themselves to try to appease to some societal standard. However, the women are. And what does that say for our daughters? And alhamdulillah, I mean, I have 4 beautiful daughters. You know, I'm not wanting my daughter to fall prey to the whole Disney princess syndrome where they're giving this standard that's put out by people in Hollywood, for example, that have a huge homosexual agenda. You know, there are men that are the fashion designers, but these are men that don't like women, but they're the one that are designing the clothes and things like that. Amazing. And they're also designing clothes that are glittery and flashy all upon the men, all under this guise of love and just fashion, where in today's climate you have President Obama calling the gay basketball player and congratulating him with all the things that are going on in the world. He calls to congratulate him about coming out. And recently, his wife just called a potential NFL player about him, you know, being possibly being the first openly gay NFL player. Like, that's an agenda. I've never received a call or heard anything about, hey, great for heterosexuals, if you will. You know, and this doesn't mean we treat homosexuals bad or crazily. However, there's a huge society thing going on. And for those who practice monotheism, we know that if everyone practiced homosexuality, that's the end of the human race. So that already lets you know whether you can weigh it as good or bad. But this agenda starts as a small seed in something cute in our children. And when we see the results of it, meaning in today's times or as we grow older and we see what's going on with the breakdown of the family and divorce rates skyrocketing, over 50%, over half of all marriages end in divorce. And 2/3 of people in the Black community, for example, come from a single parent home where the primary parent is the mother. Or nowadays when you have what's considered norm or a man and a man or a woman and a woman and they want to raise children in the family, we're really creating a serious identity crisis in a complex that we have to be addressing and be at the forefront of addressing the roots of it. And it's these little things of these Valentine's days. Oh, it's all about love. Well, love is not always good. What if you're loving alcohol? What if you're loving an addiction? You know, or you're sacrificing who you are and your identity and what you believe is to get what you think is love from someone else. You know, and until we ask those intelligent questions, we can continue to fall prey to Shaitan's little tricks.
So now we can see the negative side effects from what we perceive as something innocent. And then now we have to look at the bigger picture now. Is that what we're looking at? So from something now pure that God created man and woman and they come together in marriage holistically, organically. Now, if we start from a young age, are we saying like promoting that we're basically promoting, you know, boyfriend and girlfriends coming together outside of marriage? And then we see that, like you mentioned, because we know that Islam obviously came to the way that was sent by the Creator, came to protect mankind. And one of the things that it protects is the lineage, right, of the family, illegitimate children. We also have crime, orphans, you know, the sexual deviance. So if we as Muslims now, we fall into this trap, obviously this is going to end up affecting us, and some of these negative things are going to have an impact on us.
And it already is, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, we have Muslim schools where children, you know, children are being sent out of the country because these type of relationships have infected the family, only because we as parents have been naive. We cannot afford to be naive when Shaitan is intentional with his tricks.
Yeah. So again, this is for any God-conscious person, because a Muslim is one who submits to the will of the Creator. So this is obviously something that Jesus wouldn't be in line with. He wouldn't be in line probably with selling over Valentine's Day, would he?
Not at all.
Not at all. So we'll be right back with more here on The Dean Show. Take that simple step that you ask your maker to guide you, that he'll guide you?
Yes, I advise this a lot. So for people who are searching, put your head on the floor in the state of prostration, like all the prophets did, and ask the creator of the universe to show you the way, to guide you to the straight path. And someone who sincerely asks for guidance, subhanAllah, they'll find it in Islam.
That's it.
Do you want to know what makes knowledge grow? Then everybody watch Dean Show.
Dean Show.
Are you ready? Your host is Eddie. If there is something you want to know,
if there is something you want to
sit
know,
right back and watch Dean Show. The Dean Show.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we're discussing the Lupercalia, Valentine's Day, something that we perceive as innocent. And before we go all red, and before some of the, even the sisters, they go and put on the red hijabs, stop. Stop right there. Huh? So we talked about a little bit of the origins and some of the negative side effects that can end up coming. And we know that this way of life that was sent for all of mankind is a mercy, protects us, help us to see straight. Another innocent thing, or something that people perceive as innocent, is, let's say, we mentioned Miley Cyrus, Britney Spears, and many of the other dozens of superstars that they come, their roots are from the Disney Channel. So let's talk about a little bit of the Disney Channel, because some youth are addicted to the Disney Channel. Some parents, they think it's innocent. What's the big deal? Disney Channel.
Well,
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. See, subhanAllah, it's amazing that these little things can make such a big difference. for example, with Disney, when we look at Snow White, what's the premise of it? Snow White, she bent to this apple, fell asleep, and some Prince Charming had to come and save her and kiss her. Were they married? No. Is that immoral? Yes. Was the woman weak? Yes. Needing to be saved by a man? Yes. It promotes this weakness of women, where we don't come from that in Islam. We have a scholarship of women. You look at Aisha radiallahu anha, she was the fourth highest narrator of ahadith. The companions would come to her and ask her about different narrations and study from her. You know, when the first had a school in North Africa, was, I believe, Fatima, I don't remember her name, was studied, you know, an established school in Islam. So our women come from a period of strength, if you will. Nevertheless, when we look at Snow White, you look at Cinderella, for example, going out and kicking it at a big party and losing her glass shoe and coming to be swept up by this man. It really creates an idea of dependency, and this fantasy man is going to come and straighten it and figure it all out for you. Whether or not he may already be married, or he may be doing something, or you're not married and not looking for marriage, this fantasy arises. And when you talked about Miley Cyrus, who was previously known as Hannah Montana, little girl show, doing little girl things, and now she got turned out. Now she's Miley Cyrus in twerking controversy and just trash is what it comes to. This is a process. It was not accidental. It would be interesting if it's just one person, maybe. Then you have Britney Spears. We see her, Mickey Mouse stuff, little cute girl, attracting millions of fans. But then as soon as that teenage years come, as soon as the bodies begin to develop, now all of a sudden she's taking off her clothes, promiscuous and drugged out and everything else. Then you have Christina Aguilera. She's, again, Disney Channel, smart little girl, creating this following of millions of girls who are now women. Then next you know, she's in the video, dirty, taking off her clothes and having chaps on. It's amazing. And then you have even boys on the other side. You have Shia LaBeouf.
What's that, a song, Dirty?
Dirty, it's called Dirty, yeah. they're letting you know clearly what it is, you know? So go from here to this transition to being promiscuous, changing your entire look, advocating alcohol and all this over sex, if you will, come in looking for love and looking for something. Hence, we have the drinking, you have the alcohol abuse, you have all of this stuff because there's an emptiness inside of them that, alhamdulillah, Islam fulfills and provides you with. And it doesn't require that you sell yourself short. And the value of women is not put in their skin and how much they can show as toys for men. Mm-hmm. You know, to cover that up and to keep that and protect that and actually be forced to have someone deal with you for your mind when all I can see is your face. I mean, everything is covered on me except my hands and my face. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And there's not a protest about that, whether or not I'm being oppressed. But when our women do it, as Muslim women, as the Virgin Mary covered, for example, many times looked at as being oppressed for some reason, but you would only look at such a righteous woman to hear what she has to say with some of the wisdom and God-fearingness, if you will.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, because if they were oppressed, I mean, they're being more oppressed for wanting to cover by the you know, all the negative media comments, but they're fighting for it's their choice. So you made actually a comment. You said it crushes the woman's self-esteem because all of it is about the outer beauty and the
booty.
The booty. Can you say that on the Dean Show? The booty?
Yeah, we're going to say it on the Dean Show and actually get into what the word means or where it comes
from. So you're saying now that it lowers her self-esteem and it becomes it's all about her outer, not inner, and her beauty. That's all they're looking at, not really concentrate on the inner. And
when you think of Valentine's Day, for example, it's about having a Valentine. What is that Valentine? Oh, this is my love. This is my sweet. This is my thing, if you will. And of course, it's about the beauty. It's about the outer beauty. And attracting, this is not about marriage, it's not about morals, it's not about proposals, though many people propose on the day, which is very unoriginal, but it's about that. And you asked about booty. Well, what is booty? Booty is defined as treasure or spoils of war. This is what would happen after war. It is not Valentine's Day, a war on our morals.
So that's that man, he's just wanting to conquer that woman for his self-pleasure. Like Cupid, actually Cupid, I believe, means desire. So that's another pagan god is actually Cupid.
Yes, actually,
Cupid,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Indeed. Yeah. And he's, you know, well known with his arrows. He's looked at his love, this little cherub going around. But it goes right back to capturing that treasure.
Yeah.
That booty, that spoils of war, if you will. Yeah. To the point where now that's the part that's twerked, or that's the part that's put out in front of people on a woman. You know what I'm saying? Is this what we want for our daughters or our society? Is this what we're really going to promote to be something that's healthy and something mm-hmm. that's righteous, something that's going to get you where you go, even when you have a myth I mentioned, and we have to say it because I mentioned earlier about St. Valentine, this whole myth that he was performing these marriages, which is actually a good thing, performing these marriages, and was getting locked up and stuff for it, and then they were passing cards, which was the origin, supposedly, of Valentine's Day cards. Well, think about it. when it comes to marriage, when it comes to being moral and being in family and strengthening society, that's something that's done within your religious class or within your own community. This is something that should be protected, not something that someone should be locked up for, or you create a story to try to justify it and create another fantasy, again, because it's a myth, when the reality goes into this pagan ritual. So we have to recognize, number one, is this okay with me? Have I investigated? Have I studied it? And if it is okay with you, why? If it's not okay with you, why? But we just, again, want to call you to the deen and call you to the truth so you can separate any and everything that is falsehood and only be with the one thing that is truth.
Before we cut out, also attaching your heart to a lot of these superstars now as a young child, you have your kid watching this Disney Channel and getting all their heart attached to them. Say Miley, Hannah Montana, for instance. Mm. Now she gets older, and obviously the heart, it's, you know, it's attached to this person. There's a good chance now Hannah Montana, now she's Miley Cyrus, she's out there basically, you know, showing it all, drugs, alcohol, just basically destroying her life. That's a good chance your child, those millions are going to come with them. Is that
absolutely
a high probability?
She hasn't lost fans. They've just gotten older.
Yeah.
And now if you want to see who's going to be the future stars, look at the Disney Channel. Look at who your daughter's following now, and let's see where they'll be in 5 or 10 years as stars, because we already have the pattern. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that what you want for your girls? Is that the type of woman you want for your boys to be desiring?
And we're seeing right now, people can see many of the pictures are showing a lot of these stars getting arrested for drugs, for alcohol, intoxication. And these are these young stars that people are looking up to. So hopefully, God willing, we can benefit from this and really live a good, wholesome life that's pleasing to the Creator before we meet our Creator, because indeed, definitely this way, that way is the wrong way to go. What would you have to say?
No, indeed, 100%. It's our responsibility as parents. As a matter of fact, I'd like to give a gift to all the viewers that are parents, a book that I authored called Muslims Parenting on Purpose. So you can actually, I send it to you for free. You just have to pay for shipping. Go to outstandingmuslimparents.com/deenshow. And you can get it from there, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much.
Ameen. Wa iyyakum akeem.
Thank you. Peace be with you.
Ameen. Likewise.
And thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. And hopefully you ain't going to go red. There's nothing wrong with the color red. But hopefully now Valentine's around and you've changed. You have a totally new perspective now on really what you should be doing and not falling into these pitfalls of shaitan. And the women now we talked about who want to live a life of integrity, of dignity, of modesty, not wanting to follow Lady Gaga, Gugu, wanting to follow Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's the Muslim woman, the one who's chosen to submit not to her desires, not to the peer pressure of society, but to the Creator, the one who created all of mankind. And that is what we're calling you to. That's the purpose of life, to acknowledge that now you have a Creator. He created you. You get up and clap when somebody hits a nice free throw, jump shot, three-pointer, right? Someone writes a nice song. You're all like out of your mind. But what about the one who created you, who made you? Don't you acknowledge that? Well, start to ask him, because if you've been led to the Deen Show, that's a good chance now that the process has started. But are you going to deny all these signs? Start asking the Creator earnestly to guide you and keep coming back to the Deen Show. And if you have any suggestions, any questions, please follow us. You've seen some of these pictures that we've put up with a good message, positive message. You can take these and share them. You get them at our Facebook page. You can also follow us on Twitter. Stay in contact with us. And hopefully this time of the year, you can be with positive people so you can have a positive outcome and then get to Jannah, paradise, because that's what we're striving for the pleasure of our Creator and then for the eternal delights of paradise and avoiding the hellfire. And this is what Jesus taught in all the messages of God, including the last final messenger of Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon him. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you.